Remain standing, if you will, turn in your Bible to Romans chapter number 7. Well, we have reason to rejoice. Jesus loves even me. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Thank God for the love of God. Amen. And amen. Well, I failed to mention another. We got another visitor that I failed to mention. Good to have Brother Chuck Simpson with us. Amen. From Florida. Amen. Amen. It's been a while, but I appreciate him being here, and I thought I'd pick on him there a little bit. And I'm glad that God brought him back. Amen. Brought him back from Florida and allowed him to be able to be with us today. Amen. Romans chapter number 7, we've been looking at this now for just a little while, and I want to start up reading verse number 14. We've covered verse 14 through 17 already, but I want to look at this again if I can, and hopefully be able to draw something from it. And I'll tell you what, let's start back at verse number 12. Let's back it up just a little bit more. Verse 12. And we'll read down through verse number 25. I'm not going to cover all these this morning, so you can breathe a sigh of relief there. But I do have a thought, and it is. Let me say this too. It is somewhat repetitive. The scripture is. The scripture's repetitive. And we learn by repetition. I say that often, but it's true. We learn by repetition. And so I think it's good for us to deal with that. I'm preaching on the law's inability to save or to sanctify. The law's inability to save or to sanctify. Verse number 12, and if we will, let's read it responsibly as we do. I'll start verse 12, you come in on verse 13, and we'll take turns back and forth. Verse 12, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. That it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent that unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. We'll stop reading there. Ask God to add blessing to the reading of his word. Brother Steve Vincent, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Please, Lord, yes. Yes. Amen, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for that prayer. Sorry about that. I did turn my cordless mic off because my sinuses are moving. And the reason for that's not seasonal allergies. It's because I got a little emotional when Miss Elizabeth was singing that song. I'm glad he has. Amen. I can't help, and this is not my message. I'll get there in a minute. But back to that song, I remember hearing a message on the Preacher's Hour one night here that was preached at Faith Baptist Camp some years ago. And it might have been happening live when I heard it, but I think it was a recording. And Brian McBride was preaching about Moses. And he used that illustration that God said to Moses when Moses said, I can't go down there and deliver God. He said, who I tell him sent me? God said, I am. That phrase, I am that I am. And he said he could imagine Moses just repeating that in his mind. I am. I am. I am hath sent me. And he said when Moses made that trek back to Egypt, he could see him heading up to Pharaoh's house and seeing those big guards and knowing that they were going to resist what he had to say. And said he felt like he probably thought Moses said, Lord, I'm not able to do this. And God said, I am. Amen. I am. And there's a lot of times in life I feel like, Lord, I'm not able to do this. But I'm glad He is. Amen. He is and He does. Amen. All right, here in our text in Romans chapter number 7, we're looking at sanctification. Excuse me, we've been talking about chapter 6, 7, and 8 deal with sanctification. But primarily chapter 7, where we're at now, we've been seeing how that Paul looks back. By the way, Paul is used of God to tell of his own story. He is the example that he set before us. He moves from talking about we to talking about I. And he keeps going about that and me. And he brings it personal to him. And I believe that he points back to the past when he realized that the law revealed his sin. He thought that he had done a pretty good job of living without it, but the law discovered his hidden sin. The law displayed his hidden sin. The law denounced his hidden sin, but the law could never deliver him from his sin. And he came to recognize that. But he also saw a truth in that just same as it was in the past, there is a present tense application to that. That just like the law can't save you, you can never do good enough to get saved. The law cannot sanctify you. Just doing good doesn't make you holy. Amen. It's Christ on the inside. It's God living in us and moving in us that actually makes us holy. I've seen people, and you know, I believe in living right, living clean. But you can live, as they say, clean as a hound's tooth and be just as bad as his breath. Yeah. You can be wicked on the inside if you don't have God on the inside. So I've stated it over and over and I say it again. Salvation could never, or sanctification could never produce salvation, but salvation always produces sanctification. Amen. Always does. And Paul here is driving us to the spirituality of salvation. That it does something for us spiritually on the inside. And that sanctification is a spiritual business. Amen. So we should never look to the law for either our salvation or our sanctification. We should look to the Spirit of God. Amen. And by the way, the law was not just, it was never intended to save. And the law was not just intended for us to put on a cloak of religion. The law has a spirit. It is the Spirit of God that quickeneth. Amen. It's the Spirit of God that makes us, we understand that thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. We understand that because of the Spirit of God that's on the inside of us. Amen. And so in our previous sermon, I spoke about how law, Paul was led of the Holy Spirit to talk about how when he denied his flesh as a lost man, it only aroused the greater appetite. And he talked about sin becoming exceeding sinful. By the way, that didn't mean that sin got worse, but it meant that he saw it as bad as it really was. He saw how bad that it really was. Amen. And that unconverted position, he was in bondage to sin as well as in bondage to the law. And he realized that in order to be delivered from the bondage of one, he had to be delivered from the bondage of the other. And so we come to this section. He's declaring that the law is good. The law is good. Sometimes you hear preachers preach almost as if the Old Testament was a mistake.
that the giving of the law was bad. Boy, we're out from under the bondage of that law and all that, that it was all bad, but the law's good. Matter of fact, Paul said to Timothy that the law is good for a righteous man. Amen. For a man that uses it lawfully, the law's good. Amen. But he realized that a good law, the law though good, could not make a bad man good. And I want to underline that statement. I want it to be seared in your mind that the law, though good, could never make a bad man good. Amen. You hear, this is just the illustration. You think about the silliness of our federal government. You'll have a school shooting, for example, or any kind of a murder, and then all of a sudden we got to clamp down more laws on guns to keep them from murdering people. Well, why don't they just make murdering illegal? Because laws don't stop bad people from doing bad things. It just pronounces them wrong for what they've done. That's all the law of God did too. Amen. And so I said that this chapter, chapter number 7 of the book of Romans, it has been controversial down through the years, especially this section that we're dealing with now. Please remember that Paul is talking about how God used him, himself. He saw God working in him, and he sees that's how God works in others. Matter of fact, God said that he was going to make him an example to the Gentiles. Amen. And God's going to use him in a mighty way. He's spoken of his own unconverted state, even though under the law, and how he came to realize his sinful condition. When he realized that the law was not bringing him to godliness, but was rather pronouncing him as ungodly, he saw that the law was right and that he was wrong. Amen. All the way through this argument, and I've said it before, I say it again, and by the way, some of today will be rehearsal because we've been gone from this for a couple of weeks. But Paul upholds the integrity of the law. He says that the law is holy, the law is just, and the law is good, there in verse number 12 that we read. Amen. Paul never doubts the holiness of the law. Paul never doubts the justness or the goodness of the law, but he came to see his own innate unholiness, unjustness. Right. He saw his own unsaved condition, unrighteous. Now he moves on to talk about the spirituality of the law and how he draws conclusions from this aspect. The law, I said, could not make a bad man good, but here's the second point. The law can't even make a good man better. Amen. The law can't make a bad man good, but the law can't even make a good man better. Brother Philip mentioned this morning about the men's Sunday school class getting them the Bibles, getting the Sunday school teachers the Bibles, and he's used that Bible this morning. You can own a King James Bible and it won't do you an ounce of good if you don't do something with it. Amen. Amen. You can go to sleep with it laying on your chest, it won't help you. Amen. Unless you read it, unless it gets in your heart, unless you do something with it. Amen. And so that's the point that we're here now. Now put this note. I'm going to read you from my notes because the Lord led me in this earlier this week to jot some of these things down to remind us since we had the missions conference last week. We was in that even on Sunday. Let me remind you if I can some of the previous statements to get us up to where we are so you can see how I see it. You can see it from my vantage point. That I believe is the way. And by the way, that's why God sets the watchman on the wall. Because everybody can't see it from that vantage point. And he wants us to cry loud and tell them what we see out there. Amen. And so I that's what I want to do this morning. I am aware that many preachers, teachers, and commentators believe that Paul is speaking here not of his unsaved condition, but of his converted condition. I believe that he is obviously still speaking of what he discovered in that unconverted state. And then he sees how it applies even in his converted state. Amen. When he was newly convinced of his condition, of his sinfulness, his need of salvation prior to coming to Christ, he saw these things. It seems to me that he's using this present tense speech to show how it applies in the present tense. It has a present tense impact. By the way, when we say I'm saved, I don't know if any of you heard Brother Seitler's sermon yesterday morning on or yesterday afternoon on the radio. Brother Seitler was talking about how that salvation is in the future. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Our salvation, it talked about our the salvation of our body, the salvation that we're looking for, the eternal salvation is not complete yet. It will be completed in the future. But we say right now, I am saved, past tense. I have been saved, past tense. Why? Because what Jesus did on Calvary, it's as good as done, amen. When he saved us by his grace, we're as good as already in glory. That's what he's talking about. By the way, that's what I believe he's talking about in Ephesians. What he's talking about, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It's not that we're in heaven already, but we're as good as there because it's done, amen. Paul sees what did in the past as present tense. Application and the impact. So the transition takes place here in verse number 14 where he goes back. Paul has been speaking of himself. In verse 14, he starts back up with the word we know. For we know. He's still using his experience, but he's saying his experience fits everybody else as well. We know that the law is spiritual. I believe this is what he's saying. Everybody who has ever been saved has come to realize the spirituality of the law. It's not just that some book said that we was wrong. It's not just that some preacher said that we was wrong. It's not just that some parent said we was wrong. But when the Holy Spirit says you're wrong, you know it's spiritual work going on. That's what he's talking about in this. The law is spiritual. The word of God as it's going forth is spiritual. Everybody that's ever gotten saved recognize that somewhere in their heart. That the law is holy, just and good, and that we have failed and come short, that it is spiritual, and we are not. Amen. But then he goes on to say that he sees himself as carnal, sold under sin. Again, I think that's past tense because I know he says, I am carnal, and I see the present application. But that's not the statement of a redeemed child of God. Amen. That's how a person sees themselves before they get saved. By the way, again, and I don't want to chase this too far. I've got a good ways to go this morning yet. That's one reason we don't do what they call screen door evangelism. This just walk up to people, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and that makes you say, listen, sinners have got to see themselves as sinners. They have to before they'll ever get any help. They must. They must, in order to be saved, they must recognize themselves as a sinner, and they must repent and believe the gospel. Not just get you off their back. Not just repeat a prayer. Not just sign a card. Amen. 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 That's right. So Paul saw that and everybody else has too that it ever came to the point of salvation. Amen. But Paul, I say this is not the statement of a redeemed child of God because Paul cannot be teaching that we are still in bondage to sin in chapter 7 when he just said in chapter 6 that we've been set free from the bondage of sin. Amen. He said in chapter 7 and verse number 2, he talks about being not bound by the law. Amen. He says in chapter 6 verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So again and again, he said we're not in bondage. He says in verse number 7 of chapter 6, for we're freed from sin. Amen. So how can he say in chapter 6 we're free, and chapter 7 say we're in bondage, and in chapter 8 say there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, to them that walk not after the flesh but according to the Spirit? How can he say with bookends that we're free and in the middle say but we're still in bondage? And by the way, some people preach that we're still in bondage and will be forever in this life. No, I'll tell you what he's saying. That's what I believe. Chapter number 7 cannot demonstrate the Christian life as one of defeat when chapter 6 says it's victory and chapter 8 says it's victory. Amen. If that's your understanding of chapter 7, you misunderstand it. Amen. I believe all the Bible, you can see it. It doesn't talk of salvation as bondage. It talks of salvation as liberty. Amen. Set free by the grace of God. This crowd that says, well, Christianity is just a religion of bondage, they don't know Christianity. Amen. This crowd that needs to be delivered from, you know, all this, what is they call themselves? I can't even get it to come to mind. Anyway, recovering, that's it. These recovering fundamentalists. I sound like a recovering alcoholic to me. Yeah, they got a problem. They don't see it like it really is. Amen. Well, here's how God helped me to see it, and I believe it's right. You read Paul's epistles. Every single epistle Paul wrote is twofold. Starts off with doctrine and ends up with application. Starts off with doctrine and ends up with practical. Right. Chapter 6 is the doctrine. We're free. Chapter 7 is the practical. But sin is still possible. Amen. Not that, chapter 6, we're freed from sin. Not that we never would sin. Listen, we're overcomers, but that don't mean we always overcome. That don't mean we never fail. Amen. But we're still overcomers, even though we've fallen and been rescued by the grace of God. Amen. That's what he's saying. And so I see that in this very text, chapter 6 gives us the doctrine that salvation delivers us from the power of sin. It doesn't have, that word dominion deals with power. Chapter 7 tells us that we are still in the presence of sin. Amen. Now, I said in our previous study that you can see Paul speaks here the fact that the ability to sin is still there, but the appetite is not. He talks about, I hate it. Even in chapter 7, even when I do wrong, I hate when I do wrong. That's what he's talking about, the appetite. Amen. In verse number 15, for that which I do, I allow not, but that, for what I would that I, that do I not, but what I hate that I do. Amen. So there's the appetite has been changed. We now understand that when we sin, it's a failure on our part. It's not that sin had power over us. We were weak. Not that sin was so strong, it's that we were so weak. Amen. He now consents unto the law. Verse number 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law. That is, what? How do you consent to the law if you're a rebel against the law? Paul's not talking about being a rebel against the law. Paul's talking about consenting to it. Amen. Consenting to the law. And then he says, but sin is still present, although not in power. Amen. Amen. I've said that we can see the emphasis of this section is that sinners must come to Jesus for salvation and saints must keep close to Jesus for sanctification. Amen. Some people get the idea, well, you know, I'll go forward and I'll make a profession. I'll join the church and everything will be smooth sailing from there and I'll never be tempted again. I wish it were so. But it ain't. Amen. And if you don't continue on with Christ, then you're going to wind up in a mess. That's what he's talking about. Amen. Now, with that lengthy introduction, let's look at these verses that are in front of us today, starting in verse number 18. And I'm going to try to get through verse number 21 if I can. Verse 18 through 21, that'll give us four verses and leave us four verses. Maybe we can look at another time. Verse 18 says, for I know, he's back talking about him again. He's been doing that since verse 14. Now, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You know, here's what Paul has stated. He said that the law was weak in that it could not deliver us from sin. Now he states that the flesh is also weak. In that it can't keep itself from sin. Amen. The flesh is also weak. By the way, even saved flesh is flesh. It's weak. Even with the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we have weak flesh. We have weaknesses. Amen. Amen. We can thank God, by the way, that the will is present within us. That's what he's talking about. Thank God, God changed my will. Used to be I wanted to run to sin. Now he's changed my will. The will is present within me to please my Father. Amen. 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 The will is present. But the power must come from Christ. It doesn't come from ourselves. I believe Paul understood that. I believe he understood it well. Look in in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We'll look at a couple of verses or a couple of scriptures and then we'll come back to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, he's talking about the resurrection. And Paul, this is a famous statement of Paul. Chapter 15 and verse number 10. This is underlined in my Bible. I don't remember when I underlined it. But it ought to be underlined. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I. Look at that. He said, that's what I did. But it really wasn't me. It was God. It was the grace of God, which was with me. Amen. Paul understood that when he had victory, it was God that got the glory for the victory. It's not him. Amen. When we do something right, even as a saved person, when we do something right, it's not that we say, boy, I'll tell you, I am a good person. Boy, I thank God that I'm not like other men are. Amen. I thank God that I don't do the thing. No, listen, we are only where we are by the grace. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter number 2, and I could quote this, but I think it'd be good for you to look at it. Galatians chapter 2. You could quote this. Galatians chapter 2. Amen. Brother, Sister Richie here with us. I tell you, I remembered, for a long time I had a hard time remembering how that felt. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. How to remember that. And Brother Howe, somebody told me how to remember that. Remember, G-E-P-C. Gentiles eat pork chops. Helped me remember. Or you can say it's good to eat pork chops. That'd work too. Amen. Galatians chapter number 2. I ain't got nothing to do with my sermon, but it just helped me remember that. Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 19. Look at what he said. Galatians 2, 19. For I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Look at this phrase. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, you can quote it. You know it. But here's what we do. If we're not careful, we run through that and we don't see what Paul said. Paul didn't just say, listen, I'm saved by the grace of God. No, he said, I am still serving God by the grace of God. Where I am, not just where I was the day I got saved, where I am right now is all owed to Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. Amen. And so Paul's looking to Christ, not just for salvation, but for sanctification. And that's what he's trying to get us to do as well. Amen. So if you're saved by the grace of God, you know that on your best day, you're capable of falling. You're no match for the flesh. I said the flesh is weak. In some ways, it's almost like the flesh is strong. But the flesh is weak towards God, towards godliness. When Jesus said, the spirit is willing indeed, but the flesh is weak. He didn't mean that the flesh couldn't overcome them. No, what he was saying was that the flesh can't help you do right. You're trying to do it in the flesh. You got to have the spirit. Amen. So we know that in our best day, we're no match for the flesh. We're no match for the world. We're no match for the devil. Amen. We know that we've got to stand in the power of Christ's might. Amen. We've got to stand in His power if we're going to make it. That's our hope, and we ought never forget it. Never forget it. I'm afraid a lot of people, I'm afraid they forget that. They get saved and they think, well, you know, why do I need to pray every day? Why do I need to read my Bible? Why do I need to walk with God? I mean, I'm saved. Saved people can't do certain things. Oh, I'm telling you, you can get in a mess. You can get in a mess if you don't walk with Christ. Amen. Amen. So Paul's declaration of weakness here is specified to be with the fact that sin is, that he is dwelling in a fleshly body. I'm going back to chapter number 7 and verse number 18 of Romans, chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Paul recognized that his problem, would he still in a body of flesh. One of these days we'll have a glorified body and we'll be able to serve God perfectly. Amen. Amen. We'll be not only free, as they say, free from the presence of sin and the power of sin and the penalty. We'll be free from all of it. But right now we're free from the penalty and we're free from the power, but we're still in the presence. Right. And we're going to have to deal with it. Amen. We're going to deal with it. Amen. Well, when a person is truly saved, their mind has been changed. Some people say, well, repentance is just a change of mind. Well, it is a change of mind. Yeah, it's a real change of mind. Changes your mind and your heart and your spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And so there's that change that takes place. Our mind, see, he's talking about I'm serving God with my mind. I want to serve God now. That's the change that comes about in a saved person. Amen. I want to. By the way, here's something real interesting. Paul is going back to his past tense. This is what he recognized when he was lost. Paul wanted to keep the law as a lost man. Paul wanted to prove that he did not need Christ. He wanted to prove that. He wanted to prove he did not need Christ. He did not need Jesus, at least. He might know needed a Messiah, but he's denying Christ as a Messiah. He wanted to prove that he could keep the law. And as far as outward looking, he was without reproach. Blameless, he said. That's what he said, blameless. Blameless, according to the righteousness of the law. On the outside. But on the inside, he knew sin was still present. And I'm telling you, as a child of God, we're saved by the grace of God. The inside's been changed. Now we want to serve God. Amen. But we're still living in the presence of sin. We have a weakness in the flesh. Amen. But we do have a will, and it ought to be our will to please the Father. Amen. Amen. Well, I said when a person's been saved, their mind has been changed. Their spirit has been changed. Their heart has been changed, but their physical body is unchanged. It's unchanged. Amen. What we got to do with our body? We got to keep it under subjection. That's what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Amen. Paul used himself as an example again, and here's what Paul said about that. Paul said that I've got to keep my body beat down. Even as a saved man, I've got to watch it. I've got to watch it. Amen. I'm going to quote a man here that I don't know if I've ever quoted him. Well, I have quoted him, but I've never called his name, but I'm going to today just to show you that Some other men have seen this. John Calvin, in his comment on this verse, here's what he said. He said, he, Paul, does not mean that he has nothing but an ineffectual volition and desire, but he asserts that the efficacy of the work does not correspond to the will. In other words, here's what he said. He said, Paul was hindered in his flesh. Paul's not saying, I can't do good. Paul's saying, I can't do as good as I want to do. Amen. I can't do as good as I want to do. I'm seeing myself as the failure that I am without Christ. All right, look at verse number 19. I've got to move on if we're going to get out of here. All right, verse number 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Almost, by the way, verse 19 is almost a repetition of verse 15. If you looked at it, that for that which I do, I allow not, but for what I would that I do not, or that do I not, but what I hate that I do. And by the way, these are just almost tongue tanglers when you get into reading these. But verse number 19 is almost a repetition. And by the way, we'll see that later. That he just keeps going over some of the other things that he said, only worded just slightly differently. He's reasserting the fact that even though he longs in his heart and with his soul, he longs to do that which is right, that which is good, yet he finds himself being not entirely adequate in himself to do it. He needs the help of God. That's what he's saying. Amen. Now, I put a note here and I'll move to verse 20. Be careful not to run this into the ground as some erroneously have done. Paul is not saying something akin to this. It's what you hear this. Well, I really don't want to run around and commit adultery. I really don't want to run around and commit fornication. I really don't want to run around and commit sodomy. Who would? But I just can't help it. That's not what Paul's saying.
Amen.
That's not what he's saying at all. You know good and well Paul was not indulging in those sins. None of them.
Amen.
Amen. Paul's not talking about committing adultery, fornication, or sodomy. That's where our mind runs a lot of, and there are people that say, well, you know, I just can't help it. If God didn't want me to smoke pot, why did he make me love it so much? People, foolish things they say like that. Foolish things. That's not what Paul's saying. That's not what Paul was indulging. And by the way, he would never give an excuse for it. Amen. Amen. I'm really troubled about people always looking for a cloak for their sin. They want to find a verse. They want to take God's word and twist it and turn it to make it hide their sin. You got a problem. Amen. Here's what I believe, really. When they want to say, well, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. Is it not a little one? We'll go back to that. What Lot said when they leave. God told him to go to the mountain. Don't go to the city. He said, here's just a little city. Is it not a little one? This is when people try to make excuses. Well, it's just a little sin. Well, it's just a little lie. Well, it's just a little flirt. Well, it's just a little whatever. They go through those things. But it's just a little thing, and they're trying to cover for their sin. Here's the problem. They don't love the Word of God like they think they do. They love their sin. That's right. And until God helps them with that, they'll never be helped. Amen. Amen. Well, I got sort of sidetracked on that. Amen. Well, here's what Paul's not saying, well, it's not really so bad. Well, everybody does it. That's not what Paul's saying. He is not giving an excuse to sin. He's actually only saying that even when we love God and we serve God, we don't love Him perfectly and we don't serve Him perfectly because we're still in the flesh. But one day, thank God, we'll be delivered. Amen. We'll be delivered from this present body. We'll be delivered from this present world. We'll be delivered from this presence of sin. Amen. And that's what we ought to long for. Amen. That's what we ought to long for. Listen, Paul talks about, and he said it earlier in the book of Romans, Paul talked about all creation groans. He talked about creation before, but this is not in Romans, but Paul talks about all creation groaning for the redemption. Do you think that the world really, I'm talking about the planet, and if the planet had feelings, do you think the planet really relishes in growing thorns and thistles? No, that's not what it was made for. The world wasn't made to grow thorns and thistles. The world was made to grow beautiful things. Amen. But the thorns and the thistles came from the curse. And the world's groaning to be released from the curse. Listen, I'm telling you, when we do wrong, we ought to groan and say, Lord, this is not how you made me. This is not what you made me for. I don't like this. I hate this. And I'm longing and groaning for the day when I'll be delivered from these things. Amen. That's what he's talking about. Now, verse number 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, verse 20 is almost a repetition of verse number 17. Now, then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I mean, almost word for word repetition. He's restating the fact that he has a desire for perfection. But he knows that in himself, he doesn't have the ability. Amen. When a person gets saved, God puts the desire for perfection in them. People don't get saved saying, well, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down to that altar and I'm going to ask God to save me. Or maybe they're laying on their bed. I'm going to bow my head and I'm going to call on God and I'm going to ask Him to save me and just let me drink a little bit. Just let me rob a few banks. Just let me commit a little adultery. No, that ain't what... Here's what, when a person gets genuinely saved, they want to be done with it all. Amen. They want to be done with it all. And God puts a desire for perfection down on the inside. And this crowd running around said, shamey, shamey, you talking about perfection. Listen, we ought to long for perfection. We ought to wish for perfection. Amen. Right. We realize that in ourselves, we're incapable, but we got a perfect God. And by the way, God, he didn't say, be thou kind of good because I'm kind of good. Amen now. Brother Hall would say, come on in the house, children. Amen. He didn't say be kind to good. He said be ye perfect.
Amen.
As your Father in heaven is perfect. Be ye holy. For your Father in heaven is holy. Amen. Well, that ought to be our desire. Amen. You parents got kids. Don't you love it when they get out in the mud hole? Live more like a hog than they do a human. Don't you love it? No, you don't love it. You wish, you clean them up and you wish they'd stay clean, right? You wash clothes, don't you love it when the clothes get dirty? No, you get them clean. You wish they'd stay clean. That's the desire of the Christian. When we get cleansed, we want to stay clean. Amen. That's the desire of Paul. It's not that I want to do it. I do that. I would not. All right. He recognizes that in himself he doesn't have the ability to live like he really wants to live, like the inside of him really wants to live. Amen. When a person gets genuinely converted, they don't love sin any longer. They long for perfection. But even though they don't have the ability in the flesh to reach that sinless perfection, yet they have a longing in their heart to do so. Amen. Notice that verse 20 and verse 18 refer to sin dwelling. And really verse 17 does too. Verse 17, the last phrase, but sin dwelleth in me. Verse number 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Verse number 20, but sin that dwelleth in me. That word dwelleth there is, it's talking about sin is there. But look at verse number 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So there's the dwelling of sin and the fact that sin is present. Here's what he's saying. He's saying that sin dwelleth in us, but it does not say that sin reigns over us. Amen. Sin's still there, but sin's not on the throne. Amen. Amen. That converted state, we've got a new king. Amen. We've been delivered from the bondage of sin. We've just not been delivered from the presence of sin. We do have a perfect Savior. We do have a perfect salvation. We just haven't had a perfect state of being yet. Amen. Our existence. So this realization teaches us twofold things. I want to point out two things here, and I'm winding her down. First of all, when we have done our best for the Lord, when we're feeling the most, quote unquote, spiritual, we're still inadequate. We still don't measure up. We better be on our guard lest we fall. Here's what the Bible says. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I don't mean you have to, but it means it's possible.
That's right.
Amen. We still have the potential to fail to be all that we should be. Amen. But also take note, secondly, not only that when we've done our best, we can still fail. Here's the second thing to notice, that when we've done our worst, when we have fallen into temptation, when sin is working as powerfully as it can, when the temptation is drawing as strong as it is, sin itself does not have the power to put you in bondage again. Amen. Amen. Listen, this, when the temptation is railing on us, we can say, you're not in charge, old boy. There's a new king on the throne of my heart. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've got a Lord now. I've got a God now. I've got a Savior now. Amen. And you're not in charge, old boy. Amen. You have been dethroned. Thank God. Amen. We don't love the things we used to love. Amen. Things are different. Amen. Even when we have fallen into some temptation or sin, we can get up. We can pray to our God. We can ask God for forgiveness. We can do like the prodigal. We can head back to the Father's house. Amen. And get forgiveness. Get forgiveness. Human resolution is weak. And Satan is deceptive. Amen. But we have an indwelling Spirit of God that can help us overcome. And He will help us overcome. We can turn to Him. We can commune with Him. Amen. And we can get the strength that we need. That's why we can have victory in Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's why Paul said, and I quoted earlier, Paul said 1 Corinthians 15, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Paul knew there's a better day coming for the child of God. Amen. Not just heaven. He's talking about a glorified body away from the presence of sin. All right, verse number 21, I'll be done. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Paul again confirms what his discovery has been. His discovery is that even though a person is converted to Christ and have been delivered from the power of sin, yet evil is present with me. Amen. As long as we're in this flesh, evil would be present. You read those old timers, the old timers that believe salvation. Matter of fact, some of them that believe that they are saved since the foundation of the world would say, but I've got to battle this thing to the grave. I got to make sure that I'm in the elect. I got to make sure my calling and election, sure. I got to be settled on this thing. I got to be trusting Christ to the end. I say, amen. You can't give up hope in Christ. You can't go on your own and think, well, I can handle it from here. I believe, and there's a song that says, I'll just run the rest of the way home. And I understand that, but we can't just run on our own flesh and on our own strength. We're going to need the help of God. All the way to the pearly gates, we're going to need the help of God. Amen. So Paul's not saying that we're still in bondage to sin, but he's saying we're still bound to it. It's still here. Amen. Whether we want it or not, we still have the potential to sin. We still have the problem of sin. Therefore, we must not trust our own flesh, nor trust the law to deliver us. Amen. We've got to stay close to Jesus. I'm for memorizing Scripture. I think that's wonderful and good and ought to be done. You ought to memorize Scripture. And you can quote Scripture and it can help you in some overcoming power. But I'm going to tell you, it's not just that you're trusting the Scripture. It's just you're trusting the God of the Scripture. Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. He's telling us here there's going to be a continual battle between right and wrong as long as we're in this world. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. I believe we can all comprehend right here what Paul's been led to teach us. He tells us that when our mind is set on Christ, when our mind is set on the Word of God, we find ourselves drawn away. You experience this, don't you? That even when you kneel to pray sometimes, it's like the flesh starts pulling you out of that prayer closet. Pulling you away from the throne of grace. Pulling you away from that spiritual meditation. The flesh will do that. Paul said, we've got to battle it till Jesus comes. But we've got the victory. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that what I've said has been a help to somebody. Lord, if there's somebody here that's lost, I pray they'd come to Christ, recognize their need of a Savior, the ability of our Savior to save to the uttermost, them that'll come to God by Him. Lord, I pray they'd come even now and get to know Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that saints but recognize that we're in a battle. We don't have to be defeated, but we can be. Therefore, we need Christ. We need Christ more than we ever have. We need to stay close to you. Lord, help us to stay near to your side. There we'll gain our strength. Lord, I pray blessing this invitation time according to thy will in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going